Hare Krishna, this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, entitled Creation of the Kumara and Others, text number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sarittam Grinatha Patutram.
Sarittam Grinatha Putram.
Sarittam Grinatha Putram.
Sarittam Grinatha Putram.
Purotispa prajapatin.
Purotispa prajapatin.
Purotispa prajapatin.
Purotispa prajapatin.
Prajapati patistanvam.
Prajapati patistanvam.
Prajapati patistanvam.
Prajapati patistanvam.
Tadyajya vrittitastara.
Tadyajya vrittitastara.
Tadyajya vrittitastara.
Tadyajya vrittitastara.
Tam viso jagraho ghoram.
Tam viso jagraho ghoram.
Tam viso jagraho Goram Niharam Yadvidustama Niharam Yadvidustama Saritam Grinata Putram
Saritam Grinata Putram
Uno Trista Prajapatim
Uno Trista Prajapatim
Japati Padistambam
Japati Padistambam
Tadyaja Vrititastara
Tadyaja Vrititastara
Amdisho Jagdho Goram
Amdisho Jagdho Goram
Niharam Yadvirustama
Niharam Yadvirustama
Saritam Grinata Putram
Saritam Grinata Putram
Purotispa Prachapati
Purotispa Prachapati
Prajapati Padistanvam
Prajapati Padistanvam
Tatyaja Vrihitastara
Tatyaja Vrihitastara
Tamdiso Jagraho Goram
Tamdiso Jagraho Goram
Niharam Yadvidustama
Niharam Yadvidustama
Saitam Grinata Putra
Saitam Grinata Putra
Purushva Prajapati
Purushva Prajapati
Prajapati Patistamba
Prajapati Patistamba
Anyaja Vrinitaskara
Anyaja Vrinitaskara
Nisho Chakri Hurgora
Nisho Chakri Hurgora
Prajapati
Prajapati Patistanvam
Prajapati Patistanvam Brahma, itam, thus, grinatam, speaking, putram, sons, pura, before, dristva, seeing, prajapatim, all the progenitors of living entities, prajapati pati, the father of all of them, Brahma. Danvam, body. Yajyajya, quit. Vritya, ashamed. Tada, at that time. Tam, that body. Dishaha, all directions. Jagruhu, accepted. Dhoram, blamable. Niharam. Fog. Yet. Which. Vidhu. They know as. Tamaha. Darkness. Translation. The father of all Prajapatis, Rama, thus seeing all his Prajapati's sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed and at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later, that body appeared in all directions as the dangerous fog in darkness. Please repeat. The father of all Prajapati's Brahma, thus seeing that all his Prajapati's sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed. And at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later that body appeared in all directions as the dangerous fog in darkness. The best way to compensate for one's sinful act is to give up one's body at once. And Brahma, the leader of the living entities, showed this by his personal example. Brahma has a fabulous duration of life, but he was obliged to give up his body due to his grievous sin, even though he had merely contemplated it in his mind without having actually done it. This is a lesson for the living entities, showing how simple of an act it is to indulge in unrestricted sex life. Even to think of abominable sex life is sinful. And to compensate for such sinful acts, one has to give up his body. In other words, one's duration of life, blessings, opulence, etc. are decreased by sinful acts. And the most dangerous type of sinful act is unrestricted sex. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of gross ignorance. The feature of ignorance is darkness of fog. Darkness of fog still covers the whole universe, and the sun is the only counteracting principle. One who takes shelter of the Lord, the perpetual light, has no fear of being annihilated in the darkness of fog or ignorance. End of purpose. Omagyanam, Jnanam, Svataya, Chatshurunjam, Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namah, Namaham Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya, Bhutare, Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamiji Chinnamani, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani, Pacharine, Neva Shesha Shandavani, Pasthati Satani, Jaya Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Karadha, Shivasari, Om Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Translation again. The father of all Prajapatis, Brahma, thus seeing all his Prajapatis' sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed and at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later that body appeared in all directions as a dangerous fog in darkness. Continuing the story of Lord Brahma, was captivated by his daughter, and he began to chase after her. And his sons, the great Prajapatis, were shocked, and so they spoke to Lord Brahma. Why are you doing? You're the most powerful person. Even though Lord Brahma is the supreme person in the universe, so generally the top person in the universe is not subject to the rules. It says the king is not subject to the laws. Can you hear me? Is it? No. Anyway, they're not approving of this because he's a leader. Krishna says, whatever great men do, other people will follow, common people will follow. So, to lead people in the right direction, and Krishna says, even I act according to religious principles. Otherwise, if I don't, then no, everyone else won't follow. So human life is one of responsibility. It's a question of duty. Human life means duty. You have a duty to perform in the human life. In the other species of life, they don't have any duty to perform. But in the human life, because this earth planet is the karma stand, this is a place where we make karma. So it's a very important position in the universe. This is when we decide how we can shape our destiny. Whether we move up, whether we move down in this universe, or whether we move out altogether, that is in our hands, according to our desires and our activities. So that is, but the whole, the real purpose is to bring one to one's senses, and thus make a solution to the material problems of birth, old age, disease and death, and go back to the spiritual world. This is intelligence, this is what Krishna comes to teach, this is what the Lord Brahma speaks. Krishna speaks through the mouth of Lord Brahma, and in terms of the Vedas and other instructions, simply for this purpose, to understand one's position in this material world and understands one's real position in relationship with Krishna. So other than that, then it's just the activities or the time is just uselessly spent, more or less. Because you perform an activity and then you'll get the result, a reaction for that activity, which in turn will prompt you to perform another activity, which you get a result for, which in turn will prompt you to perform another activity in another way, in a similar mentality. So this way the samsara goes on, but nothing has any real meaning. You're just staying in the material world, getting old and dying and taking birth and doing it all over again and again. So it has no real meaning, absolutely speaking, from the spiritual platform. There's no substance here. Nothing is going on. You're just growing old, getting sick, dying, taking birth again. So there's no real meaning to it, and it's troublesome to do that. These are problems of the material world. So most of that time is just trying to rectify the problems of the material world. most of the life is spent like that. A good 80%. And being liberal. But 80% of your life is just spent trying to rectify the problems. Because the real business is to actually enjoy. That's what we want. By nature, we are blissful. The soul is actually blissful. But now that bliss is covered. As well as the knowledge. And the eternal aspect, our sense of eternal existence is almost covered. It's this, somewhere to some degree, because we don't think we're going to die. That's the most wonderful thing. Somehow or other, we think it can't happen to us, because actually it can't happen to us, the soul. So that is intrinsically your birthright. You don't actually die. That feeling is quite natural. But that's more or less the. And then everyone is striving for knowledge. You see, there's so many students here coming to study in Mayapur, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhagavan, Bhakti this, Bhakti that. All kinds of knowledge. So many libraries and all over the world institutions for that knowledge. But what are they doing with that knowledge? How to eat nicely, how to sleep nicely, how to have sex nicely, and how to defend nicely. Nothing else. Nothing else. Unless some, of course nowadays, some crazy subjects coming out with meaningless subjects which people like to read about. But otherwise nothing else is going on here. So we come in ignorance. So the first covering the jiva gets when he enters into the material world from the spiritual world is avidya. Avidya, a special covering of ignorance given by Krishna personally. Avidya. He takes away the remembrance of himself. He hides himself. He covers the relationship, that our eternal relationship, that is gone. So this is how you pop into the material world. You're on your own now. You've got to start making relationships. You've forgotten your actual real relationship. But relationships you need. Relationships you have to have. Right? Otherwise you feel dry, you feel lonely, you feel depressed. You've got to have relationships because that's life, there's rasa there. So then we start to look around in the material world. How can I get that rasa? How can I get that exchange? So, first obvious thing is your body, right? Here I am, this is me. So how to satisfy the senses of this body? So that body means more or less sense gratification. But human life is actually meant for tapasya. Tapasya means saying no to what the mind thinks is a good idea, if it's not conducive for spiritual life. That's tapasya. We didn't come in this material world to... we came here to enjoy, right? We had a better idea than Krishna's idea. So here we are. And now we're going to try to exercise that, our imagination, and find a way, somehow or other, within all of these pleasures that we're bound up in, somehow or other we're going to try to wiggle our way through and be situated nicely so we can really enjoy it. And we're going to do it. This is material life. False ego is dictating like that. So that ignorance, Prabhupada mentioned here, ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of gross ignorance. Yeah? You've got a vicious circle here. You're born in ignorance, and that's the cause of sinful life. If you forget your relationship with Krishna, you want to enjoy it. Then you want to experience happiness, so you experience that. You start to experience happiness through your senses. How else can you experience happiness? So then it means, if you don't have any, if you've gotten your relationship with Krishna, that which is the highest sense gratification, then you've got to find another source. You've got to have happiness. Right? You've got to have some sense gratification. So then you look. We don't see Krishna. He's hiding. He's covered himself from us. He's hid away. So now we're looking at everything else and everyone else to fulfill that desire, to fulfill that need. So that's ignorance. But generally then sense gratification without proper regulation of religious life is degrading. That's the nature of it. Because it's never satisfying for very long. And you always want something different. So therefore the sense gravity gets more and more bizarre as the time ages go on, as we see in the present day, and who knows what will happen in the future. But they get more and more bizarre ways of trying to squeeze happiness out of the senses. The sex life is already available for everyone, and it's a good pleasure, right? it's a good relief anyway from the miseries. Otherwise, why is everyone engaged in this activity? See, in every society all over the world, at the end of the day, what do? The man and woman go together and lock the door. Right? Everywhere, all over the world, they do the same thing. And then there's some relief, some pleasure, some feeling of relief. And then you can sleep peacefully. Because you've got to wake up and you've got to start the day again. You've got to go through all that day again. All those pleasures you've got to avoid to get through to the other end. But that little bit of pleasure at night makes it all worthwhile. And then some relief. And then you all work and sleep peacefully, exhausted. So that's and a result of that is more ignorance, more gross ignorance. You're losing here. It says you're losing. It says here you should give up your body, but it seems very, very severe. Like it said, it's so simple. Even to think of it, so simple. You should give up your body. But Prabhupada qualifies that. In other words, giving up your body means one duration of life, your blessings, which is essential for us, and your opulences are all gradually diminished, taken away. In other words, you're going to, by engaging in unrestricted sense gratification, you're going to gradually sink down to lower species. With no blessings, no opulence, and short life. So this ignorance is, so this body Lord Brahma got, this the Lord Brahma took, is symbolic of ignorance. That is, one engaged in a sinful activity or an activity which is not recommended in the shastra. So this body represents ignorance. So therefore he cast it off. So it's significant also that body appeared as darkness and fog. Darkness is bad enough. When there's fog, it's even worse. So that's a very gross ignorance. This is Lord Brahma's body of ignorance, as in the dark, in the fog, you can't see what's going on. And so, in other words, there's no knowledge. Ignorance will cover one's knowledge, and thus you lose all of the good qualities. They will gradually diminish by engaging in unrestricted sense gratification, and gradually fall down into lower species of life. Because in lower species of life, it's not simple to engage in unrestricted sense gratification. There's no karma. In the animal species, there's no karma. Or even in the human species, the regulations are there, but there's more regulations for the Brahmas, much more regulations for the Brahmas and the Kshatriyas than there is for the Vaishyas and there is for the Sudras. It's like Vanapras is recommended, but for the Sudras there's no Vanapras. Because they're not going to do it. It'd be too difficult for them to take Vanapras. Sutta means one in the world of ignorance. So that's going to be too difficult. So therefore it's not given to them. But if they follow, anyway, they follow their duties, it's still a question of duty. They still have to follow duties that is the beginning of human life, sutra. If they follow those duties, then they'll be elevated in due course of time, in due birth, they'll be elevated to the status of from ignorance to passion for goodness, if they follow it, if they follow duty. In other words, from Sudra to Vaishya to Kshatriya to Brahmana. That's the Vedic system, that's the Varnashram system. It takes a long time, but what to do? And that's it. You have to accept that. So it's a question of duty, it's not a question of, here, well, we'll talk about freedom, but actually, what is this freedom? Freedom of choice. You can choose to serve Krishna or you can choose to serve Maya. So if you choose to serve Maya, then you stay in the material world, either religiously or irreligiously. But anyway, the thing is that it is a question of duty. We're born in ignorance. And if you want to get out of the ignorance, then you have to accept some authority how to get out, because by ourselves we're never going to figure it out, what is going on in this life, what is going on in this material world. How can you understand what it's all about? So you have to accept some authority. And if you don't accept the authority of the scriptures, then what authority will you accept? You have to accept some authority, even if it's your own mind. So, therefore, those fortunate people, the more bold-minded, they can accept the teachings of the scripture. That means from Sūja upwards. Even though Sūjas don't study the scripture, they can hear the scripture, but they don't actually study and chant it. Of course, as the time went on, it was allowed, like Mahabharata, Ramayana, etc. But they were dutiful. They knew the duty, and they were protected by the high caste who knew all the religious codes, and they had their own set of they had their own dharma to perform. So that's the bottom line. Then outside of that, if you can't come to that standard, if you don't agree to that standard, then you can live outside the city, tribal, Malecha Yavana, that's below the civilized human being. But for civilized, those born in a civilized society, then it's a question of duty. So you can't question. We can't, you're always free there. But we've heard the examples of those who follow and those who don't follow their duties in life. He's talking about unrestricted sex life. Sex life is not forbidden. Sex pleasure is there. So it's not forbidden, but it's there under regulation. That means religious life. Because people are not going to stop. You can't just say it's the most binding thing in the material world, because it gives a nice relief from the material suffering, it gives a sense of pleasure, and it makes everything worthwhile. So, but by doing that, you'll stay in the material world. If you're taking shelter, if you're finding shelter there, then that's your consciousness, and your time of death. Who knows? You won't take shelter of Krishna, you'll take shelter somewhere else, wherever you value as your greatest shelter. So therefore you should forget about the whole thing altogether, but who's going to do it? Who can do it? No one can do it. So therefore, okay, it's not good for spiritual life, but you're not going to stop doing it. So here, have it in a religious way. Have your sense gratification in a religious way. Marriage, audience, and the whole rules and regulations that go with the Grihastha Ashram. And this way, you will be gradually elevated until you actually overcome that. So after having three children, then Prabhupada said, then you can understand a little bit better what the Grihastha Ashram is all about. So by the time you're 50, 60, and you've had a good experience, by that time your senses are getting down, old, and you're not so accurate, not so passionate anymore, and you've got all that response, you're just getting out of that great responsibility of raising your children and seeing them off into the future. It's a great responsibility. And then it doesn't have the same charm anymore when the body starts to fall apart. It smells common. It doesn't have the same charm as it used to have. So then you begin to understand because there's going to come a time when you can't engage in that kind of sense gratification anymore. Obviously, when you get too old. So what do you do then? What do you do when your day is finished then? Sit down and play bridge, cards, or... So therefore the midlife crisis, old people, if they don't have any spiritual direction, then the life is not very... is try hard to hang on and stay young, but it's all futile. But if you have, if we had good training, then we're engaged in the religious activities, or at least for us, the devotional activities to Krishna, that's actually where we get our pleasure. Yes, it's actually a higher taste. Unless you get a higher taste, how can you get the lower taste? So as soon as one gets a higher taste, then one can actually be come indifferent from the attraction to Maya in various forms. Really only at that time. And that begins at Nishtha. When the attraction is, you're getting as much pleasure from the spiritual side as you are from the material side. That's the Nishtha platform. But from then on there's like the next, after that it comes Ruchi, right? After Nishtha comes Ruchi, so then you're actually getting taste of the spiritual life. So then it's easy, you advance very quickly there. And then you can become indifferent to material sense gratification, because you're getting a better sense gratification. Senses are more happy when they're contacting the spiritual energy. So there's a higher taste there, higher sense gratification, so why you'll be interested in a lower sense gratification? So then you can become indifferent to Maya. First you try to enjoy Maya as a karmi, then you try to control Maya or become aloof from Maya as a jnani. But ultimately you should be, the devotee becomes indifferent to Maya. The karmis and the jnanis are not complete because their subject. Their subject is Maya. Either they're trying to enjoy Maya or they're trying to be free from Maya. In other words, control Maya's influence. So they're both focused on Maya. So it's two sides of the same coin. Vogue and Tyag. But when one actually has a, when actually one experiences a higher taste, then he becomes indifferent to Maya. It's not that Maya is any less attractive. She's supreme. She's the most attractive thing in the universe, Maya Devi. So she doesn't lose her attraction. It's just that one gets something better. So that something better is already from out of this universe. If she's the most attractive thing in this universe, what could you give it up for? So that means it from some the high spiritual taste, or experiencing your relationship with Krishna. So once that experience is there, then you'll be fixed, you'll be solid then how to do it. But until then, it's more or less a question of duty. Duty has to be performed. So this is why Brahma was being chastised, and he became very ashamed Srila Prabhupada says in the previous verse, although they were chastising him, his intelligence was so covered by lust that he couldn't even heed his sons properly. But he says they prayed to the Lord anyway, so something clicked inside. Krishna removed something, gave him removed the ignorance a little bit, and then he became very ashamed. which is why these rules and regulations are there, because by nature we don't like to follow rules. Jiva doesn't like to be follow rules. By nature we are free. We don't like impositions, because they are unnatural impositions on the spirit soul. So the rules, we only follow the rules generally out of fear, isn't it? That's why one becomes religious, out of fear. If I don't become religious, what will happen? If I don't follow God, what will happen? I go to hell and suffer. So I don't want to do that, so I'll serve God. So until there's a taste there, until one actually, then it's a question, you're doing it as a sense of duty, out of intelligence. So then the duties are there, the rules and regulations are there, and if you break the rules and regulations, it's very shameful. So because we haven't achieved that higher taste, then that shame, what other people think of us, is very important. For the false ego, we come here to show how we want everyone, we want to be the center of attention. I mean, in a nice way, not in an infamous way. And that's not so much strange. So we don't like to be criticized or, or seen in a bad way. So that is a, this is the healthy side of following religious principles. That one has a, there's a lot of peer pressure there to conform, although you don't really like it. But if you don't conform, then it'll be even worse because you'll be criticized as not being a good person. So you don't want that. So then you'll follow. But if you didn't have any rules and regulations to follow, then you wouldn't. If you didn't have to, if you didn't care about that, just like the low, very low class people don't care. Third class person doesn't care about it. So they're, then they can become animals in the next life, because there's no shame of the animals when they engage in sense gratification. There's no sense of shame. But then they, but the human is. And the more advanced, then the more sense of shame should be. So that, so then it clicked, then it, then by the Lord's mercy, Lord Brahma understood. Of course we can understand this is Lila, that this example is there for us. Even the greatest person on the planet, in the universe, is also tripped up sometimes by his ignorance, is led astray. And then he became very much ashamed. And then he gave up his body, or he gave up the ignorance. He let go of that ignorance. So that's it. It's not that we have to jump off the bridge. That means that one should immediately give up that ignorance out of shame, if nothing else. That you should immediately give up. You know, you become determined that you're not going to engage in improper activities again. That you'll be very dutiful. So that is a beauty of peer pressure to keep us in line. Otherwise, by nature, you won't. The nature of the mind is like water. It always goes down to the, finds the lowest. And like the senses always want some. So that's very necessary. That's why we always try to associate with advanced devotees. More advanced association we have, then the more stricter we also become with us, careful we become with ourselves to accept only that which is favorable to Krishna consciousness, and be more careful to reject what's unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. So for our benefit, Lord Brahma has, or Krishna has, through Lord Brahma, performed this pastime, so we can hear about it and discuss it again and again and again, and how he behaved, how he got over it. So in this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is showing us from so many different angles how to become a nice devotee of Krishna, how to establish our relationship with Krishna. As soon as that relationship is established, then the struggle is over. There's no endeavor anymore. The endeavor just comes to please Krishna, and not staying out of Maya or staying out of ignorance or trying to enjoy avidya. The focus then becomes on Krishna, because there's the attraction is there, and the great pleasure there. So these are some nice instructions in this. This is the very beginning of creation, so Lord Brahma is teaching us right from the very beginning. And the Pajapati is also teaching us right from the very beginning of creation, that we can take instruction from this. And we follow the duty of accepting what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and rejecting what's unfavorable. And we can pray for ourselves, we can also pray for others, that the Lord's mercy is also, as we see in this case, very it's the saving grace. And somehow or other, we should always try to come to the platform of remembering Krishna. Jai Sriman Bhagavatam ki, Sipobhari ki, Gopanandi ki. Any comments? Questions?
Yes.
No, he can't stop many bodies. It seems like that. That he can do something we can't do. He can give up that body. But here, he says some say that Brahma has a mental body. A Brahma log is like a mental planet. So fine, it's made of, it's very fine there. The higher in the universe, that's how the finer the elements become. So predominantly, I've heard it's mind in Brahma Loka, very fine. So they have that potency. Who is it who has some lusty desires? He transferred those desires to someone else. He didn't want them, so he transferred them to someone else. They have that potency. Extraordinary thing. Oh, please. He gives up. He said he gives up body after body, but it means that mentality. So he changes his paradigm, and that. But that because of his potency, that previous consciousness or previous mentality that goes there, that's fixed in the universe, and someone else can take that. That's a inconceivable potency.
In other words, this isn't recommending that when the weak really falls down, that is what generally is understood as inauspicious. People wouldn't find it in this wisdom.
No, one, it's not recommended. In this one, it says here, this is the most sinful activity, but you know, they say actually, Kirinava Brahmana is the most sinful activity. But it means that Kirinava Brahmana is not a very popular thing. But sex life is very popular. Everyone likes to do it. Nobody really likes to kill a Brahmana. You don't need to kill a Brahmana in extreme circumstance or commit a great heinous crime. But here it says sex life is the most heinous crime because everyone does it openly and embrace it. That's why it's because it's so binding. But no, these other crimes, nobody likes to kill a Brahmana, only out of extraordinary circumstance. So that's what it means like that. But to give up your body, it means to change that mentality. If it's a very serious crime, like killing a Brahmana, you might as well commit suicide. You might as well give up the body to atone for that. If the government. That's why the death penalty is there. It saves you suffering more in your next life, according to the codes of manna. It's actually a good thing to be. Death penalty is a good thing if it's done by the shastra, because you'll suffer much more in your next life.
Most fully look at somebody and if them all will not accept him, you know, continue to give up his body.
Chotaharidas, yeah. He gave up his body. That's, we have to understand that's also Leela. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Parashas. The Lord Chaitanya was given the, using that example, that if one is in a renouncement of life, then there's no question of this kind of thing. there was no question anyway with him. He was going to beg some rice for Lord Chaitanya, for her elderly lady, who was a super, super devotee. But so Lord Chaitanya used him to make that example. So he behaved perfectly. When he was a child, he was very naughty, but as soon as he grew up, he was very strict. When he was a vihasa, he was very strict. Probably that he never joked with his wife, maybe once. And when he was a sannyasi, he was super strict. Right? He played perfectly that role. So he's given that example that if you're, that was the example he gave. Very extreme. Very extreme. But the thing is there that these great personalities, we understand it's Leela, but they give these examples. And they, as Maharaj was saying the other day, that it's an extreme example. Who chases after their daughter in a lusty way is a very extreme example. It's a similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given a very extreme warning that if you're in a renouncer of life, that's it. You otherwise don't make a joke. Just put wine back on and go back in there. Go back in Yasha Ashram. There's no restriction, but these Gyasas Mahaprabhu who associate it so much. Just go there, take lunch, So he was there. That was no problem. But if you're going to do something, do it properly. That was Mahaprabhu saying. And he set the example. Krishna also. Not so easy to understand Krishna, but they set the example there. So there's no need for that. But if you do, but if one does it, that also means that one is, if one has the courage to do that, renounce it, has the courage to do that, and say, oh, I can do it. But if someone has the courage to do that, that means they're really sincere, right? I mean, they're so ashamed of doing that, and, you know, it was a wrong thing to do, but how sincere they are to be able to do that. So, in one sense, it's okay. If you're of that caliber. One, back.
Would you not be committing the sentence that Rama told us about stealing the coin, something that we want to put the stop to, or we may commit an offense, or we may be habituated to the offense, or some offenses. Is there a recommended way for us to give up the body or the devil? Is there a recommended
method or way of
giving up
whatever
mentality
you're habituated
to some
sin or offenses? In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. Because, you know, we're full of these things, we're born into that situation. It's a great degraded age. I can't see any, I don't know any recommended. If you chant Hare Krishna one time, you can dissolve the sins, more sins than it's possible to commit in hundreds of lifetimes. So if you chant one time purely, if you circumambulate Tulsi, you're relieved of the sin of killing the Brahmana. But still, it may not stop that productivity to sin again. It may not actually purify the heart. So it's actually you want it, the ultimate thing. You've got to establish a relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, these things they may go. But then you're still back in the same boat. You're still the same person. You see, your sins have gone away, but you're still the same person. Yes,
ma'am. I do not understand the last. Sentences for the fog of ignorance or
the
fog of faith? I
mean,
I don't
know
the name of
the fog. F-O-G. Yeah. It represents ignorance because when there's fog, your vision is gone.
I'm wondering, speaking about how great persons can't really do any wrong. But I'm wondering how that is, because all jivas are by nature prakriti. So how can they be acting as purusha and not gain any, not getting any bad reaction to that? By nature, they're not meant to be doing those things. So how is it that they can act like that and not be affected?
They can. They're going to be affected. I mean, not the. On the absolute platform, they're not affected. The soul is never affected. This is just projecting your consciousness on this action and reaction. You're the cause of it. You're projecting your consciousness on it, but the soul is actually not touched by these things. That's just, you're just identifying as part of this action and reaction, this good and bad, sinful and pious. You're just identifying with that. But actually nothing to do with it, absolutely speaking. But unless you're on the absolute platform, then it becomes a reality. You are responsible for it. You are experiencing it. You have to suffer and enjoy it and get the results. If your consciousness is there, if your consciousness is on this platform, then we got it. It's a reality. But when you become to the platform of Brahma Buddha, self-realization, then it It's not. There's another reality. You got a real reality. The real reality. You in contact with that reality, the permanent reality. Then these things don't. But then these things don't bind you. Even though you're going on, mukta jivan. You're in the body. You're performing activities. There's actions and reactions. The body's got to, it's going to go, get sick, die, and all these interactions are going to take place. But on the platform of Brahma Bhuta, you're not affected by that. You're not affected. Because you're situated in this whole property. The body's going through all these things. The body and the mind is going through those things. Krishna says, although he's a doer of everything, he said he's not responsible for the reactions of the living entities. That's due to their own freedom and choice. So, Prabhupada, PJ.